Welcome to the Go Hard Chick podcast. This is your host, Crystal Holmes. And today in this episode, we talk celibacy with Kimberly Diamond. Now, I know many of you are thinking, what does this have to do with health and wellness? Well, ladies, honestly, celibacy or abstinence can really help us achieve greater focus, clear out some negative things going on in our lives, and just help us to become more loving of ourselves and our bodies. And that's why I wanted Kimberly to come on and talk today. Kimberly has been celibate for 15 years, which is just amazing to me. And she is a life coach and holistic health coach. And she started her business, Chemistry, about 10 years ago with the mission of educating women and empowering them and knowing their worth, which is her motto, know your worth. And she is a huge advocate and proponent of celibacy in guiding her clients to knowing their worth. Now, I want to be clear, in this episode, I refer to myself as having practiced celibacy. But honestly, if we're really looking at the definition of celibacy, I was abstinent. I was not celibate. I was abstinent for about 5 years. And as I share in this episode, I did not plan to be abstinent. It was not a plan. I just kind of fell into abstinence. And then I looked up one day and I realized just how super focused I was, how I began to cherish not only my health, my mental health, but my physical health, my body, how I was able to become laser focused in many of my endeavors in my life. And I'm not abstinent anymore. I am in a committed relationship. However, I honestly believe that period of abstinence helped me to continue to achieve, and I continue to remain focused now because I don't have all of the distractions in life that, I mean, if we're honest, sometimes casual sex can bring a lot of distraction. So I wanted to bring Kimberly on to discuss this. It is a means in which you can help achieve better wellness in your life if you're open and receptive to this. Of course, many of the listeners are in committed relationships and they're married, so this would not apply. But I challenge you to listen to it, because one thing about me, when I was not open and receptive to celibacy, I was not open and receptive to abstinence. Like I said, I fell into it, and I tend to fall into a lot of things in my life. And then I'm like, whoa, look at these benefits. So I encourage you to take a listen, and welcome to the Go Hard Chick podcast, our Go Hard Chick, Kimberly Diamond.
Welcome to the Go Hard Chick podcast, Kimberly. How are you?
I am blessed and highly favored. Thanks for asking. How are you?
I am blessed as well, and I am thrilled to have this conversation with you on this beautiful Sunday. This is a topic, celibacy, that I've been wanting to really discuss. When I started this podcast, Kimberly, you know, I wanted to really provide information to women about overall wellness, not just working out and eating right. And I just believe celibacy, is an important part of that discussion as we try to achieve wellness or better wellness in our lives. And it holds a really important part in my life, because for a period of time I was celibate. And when I look back on that period of time in my life, it was probably one of the most focused and centered I have been. And it helped shape me and guide me to where I am today. So I'm thrilled to have this conversation with you.
Wow. Thank you so much.
So enough about me. Let's tell the listeners a little bit about yourself, Kimberly.
Okay, well, my name is Kimberly Diamond. I am the owner of Chemistry, that's with the K-I-M-E-S-T-R-Y, Chemistry LLC. Chemistry is a holistic brand. It is a brand that educates women and little girls on knowing their worth, loving themselves, being holistic. The brand is known all over the world for just imparting faith and wisdom and boosting the self-esteem of females all over the world of different ages. My motto is know your worth and feed your body life. I have been celibate for 15 years. I am operating in my purpose, and I love to help other women build their self-esteem and know their worth.
Wow, Kimberly, 15 years. You got me.
Yes, 15 years.
So tell the listeners, how did you find celibacy?
I found celibacy because I'm very religious. I'm tapped into the realm of God. I try to stay tapped into the realm of God as much as I can. And I knew that I was raised in a Christian household. I knew all about soul ties. I knew that sex should be between, in the Christian morals and the Christian beliefs, sex should be between a husband and a wife. And I knew that each time I slept with someone, I was getting my soul connected. It's called soul ties. And if you want to get biblical with it, then each person has seven demons. So just imagine you're in a relationship, intimate relationship with a man. You're dealing with your seven demons, his seven demons, whoever else he's been with that he never got cleansed from, or somebody he could be in a relationship with besides you. So you're multiplying seven demons times seven demons times seven demons, and you're wondering why your life is a mess. You're wondering why your health is not in the best place it should be. You're wondering why you keep applying for jobs, you never get the jobs. You're wondering why your spiritual life is not where it needs to be. It's because you have so many demons in you from other people's spirits. And so it is very difficult to break soul ties when you're constantly having sex with someone that is not your husband, not your wife, your wife. So that is why I became celibate. I believe that when you know your worth, you feed your body life. And if you know your worth, then you would not feed your body demons from other men. You would not continue to get the soul ties from multiple relationships entangled in your spirit, because it's very difficult to break soul ties. So that's why I've been celibate 15 years. September 3rd made it 15 years.
Okay. So, and I don't want to get too deep into soul ties, but how does celibacy help one break soul ties?
Okay. What I tell people is you never put yourself around any situation that you're trying to get free from. So if I'm a drug addict and I know that, I just say, I don't know, cocaine was my drug of choice. I've never been on drugs, but it's an example. If I'm trying to break that habit, then I don't need to put myself around people that are still doing that. So for me, I always tell people that I coach, whenever you decide to be celibate, look at your circle, look at your inner circle and ask yourself, are these people for you? Or are they against you? Whenever you decide to be celibate, you need to actually reevaluate your circle. Ask yourself why you're doing it, because it's not an easy task in the beginning, especially if you're trying to do it and you're still in love with someone. So basically, what I always tell people when I coach them, make sure you're doing it for the right reasons. Make sure it's not just because. It has to be a reason that you are going to be celibate, because it makes the journey worth it. For me, I was able to open up several businesses. I just launched a new business. I've always been holistic, but in the pandemic, I opened up Chemistry Wellness, and it's an actual line that has a lot of wellness products. But I'm saying this to say, when you're focused and you have clarity and you don't have all of the demons in your body from different sexual relationships, the sky is the limit. When you keep your legs closed, the power between your legs is very powerful. When you keep your legs closed and you focus on what it is that God has called you to do, you're unstoppable. For me, if I'm dating someone and it doesn't work out, and I have not been intimate with them, I can just cut them off. But if you're intimate with them, it's a little harder because you have soul ties. So for me, celibacy brings on a whole different level of power.
And I mean, a light bulb just went off in my brain, Kimberly, because I'm gonna be honest with you. I have rejected the concept of soul ties in the past because I felt like, no, nobody has that kind of control. There's nothing that, but here listening to you and just thinking over my life, if I'm honest with myself, when I went through that period of celibacy, mine was a little over 5 years. Like you said, I was so clear and so focused. And when I left celibacy, it was to be in a committed relationship, which I've been in for some years now. I'm still like, I have that clarity and focus. I'm not distracted. It's not all this stuff going on. You know, I was able to make strides in my career that I wasn't able to do before. I was able to start this podcast, for example. I was able to really achieve some things that I, in the past, prior to me being celibate, I probably wouldn't have been able to do.
Right. Well,
maybe I did break some soul ties.
It's what I tell people is, you hear people say they're detoxing. You have to detox from soul ties. You have to detox from things that don't give your body life. And anytime I talk about feeding your body life, I'm not just talking about food. Feeding your body life is knowing that the last guy you were with, if every time you're intimate and he never calls you back, you're intimate with him and he goes, he disappears for a week. Are you intimate with him? And then your emotions are all over the place. To me, that's toxic. Detox. And when you detox, you go cold turkey. You know, okay, this person is not good for me. I'm able to be more focused when I'm not around this person. When this person comes around me, when we have sex, I lose all control. Anything that has you lose the control like that is not healthy. I've coached so many women that are literally losing their minds over relationships. Like, they would literally go drive by the person's house, do drive-bys, call their phone 6 and 7 times a day. That's because the soul ties have taken over. Anytime you release yourself of that, you have a clear vision. No man on this earth should be able to control you like that because of sex. So once you realize that you have the power to create change and you realize that you know the worth you possess, you realize that what you have in between your legs is more valuable and more precious than just sleeping with anybody. When you wait for your design mate, the world... you have a world of endless possibilities. I mean, the world you can do anything. Once you tap into knowing your worth, then you realize, you know what? This person is texting me at 1 o'clock in the morning. All he wants to do is have sex. When you know your worth, you can text him back. No, I'm good. I'm gonna stay home tonight. When you get a text for Netflix and chill at 3 o'clock in the morning, you know your worth. No, I'm good. I'm gonna stay home tonight. When you don't know your worth, okay, what time you want me to come over? Leave the porch light on. This all leads to knowing your worth. People will look at you and think that something is wrong with you because you've been single for a long time, because you're celibate. But if you look at people that are celibate and people that are focused versus people that are just out there just having intimate relationships with anybody, you will see the difference. Most people that, like, you did it for 5 years, you were strong, you still are strong, but you gained strength from being celibate for 5 years. If you were still out there doing whatever you were doing, I promise you, this podcast probably wouldn't have come into a fruition. So everything happens whenever you become celibate, because you get clarity, if that makes sense.
Right. But you know, Kimberly, it's so hard. I mean, just looking back when I was younger, because I'm 47. So it's, you know, it's been some years, you know, since I was celibate and all of that. But just looking back at my younger self, and I'm assuming from what I see around me that this is still happening today. People, the media, I mean, you even touched on it. You said people will look at you funny because you're single. They make women, single women, feel inadequate.
Right.
They don't have a man. Something is wrong with them. I mean, I can remember people saying that to me, like,
right.
What's wrong with you? Why are you single? You know, like, you haven't found anybody yet.
Right.
Da-da. And, you know, so, and you, how do we get people to, well, I guess the first step or a part of, I don't know if it's the first step or if that comes with celibacy, to love themselves enough. How do you get women to get there?
Well, first of all, you have to stop settling. You have to stop giving your attention to the first man that tells you you're beautiful, or the first man that says, let's go out on a date. You have to really evaluate yourself and do some serious soul searching. You have to focus on what it's going to take to get you to the next level. Because a lot of times when you're in relationships, you can have all these dreams, but you never get to those dreams. You never bring those dreams into fruition because you're stuck with the soul ties. So I think for me, I think society, they make it hard for single women, as if you know, with something must be wrong with you, you're still single. But I can say to you, it takes a stronger woman to be single and not settle. It takes a stronger woman to be single and be alone and sleep by herself at night, knowing that God is going to bring her a soulmate. It takes a stronger woman to work on herself while she is praying on God to ask her to connect her with her soulmate. It takes a stronger woman to know her worth and not worry about what social media looks like in relationships, not worry about what people in the family might be saying to this person. I promise you, a lot of people in relationships wish they were single. They wish they would have waited. They wish they would have trusted God. They wish they would have known their worth. A lot of times when you don't know your worth and you rush into relationships, you end up getting in relationships that are full of domestic violence. You end up getting in relationships that you know you deserve better. So I think that women that are single, I commend women for being single. I know that it gets hard sometimes, but I feel like when you're single, it's time for you to focus on wherever God wants you to be. Focus on your purpose. Because remember, when you're married, it's not just you anymore. It's you and your husband. So whatever dreams that you have while you're single, you need to work on those dreams and make them come into fruition while you're single. So being single is not bad at all. Being single is a blessing, especially when you can embrace it.
Yes, yes. And that's, I mean, you hit the nail on the head. It's, you know, people feel inadequate about being single instead of looking at the blessing in it.
Yeah, that's a blessing in it. I can tell you, in 15 years, chemistry, it was a natural hair salon, chemistry, natural hair salon, all this being single, chemistry, natural hair salon. I have a spiritual t-shirt line where I make t-shirts with positive sayings. I have a coaching program where I go into different organizations and coach women and girls. It's like a contract. I also birthed Chemistry Wellness, where, you know, I promote wellness products. I also do life coaching for women that want to be celibate, women that want to be single, women that have low self-esteem, women that just need holistic health healing. I say that to say, if I was in a relationship, especially a toxic one, my mind would not be on building my empire. It would be on, what is he doing tonight? Why hasn't he returned my call? Who is he with? Now, the right person, God can send you the right person in your dating time that can help you work towards your purpose, but you cannot settle. It's when you trust God with everything in you. And guess what? When you're tapped into the realm of God, because I don't do anything unless God is in it. When you're tapped into the realm of God, when you have a discernment over your life and you can pick up on things, you will know, God, that's the one. God, that's not the one. So focus on your relationship with God. Focus on being, this is to single women, focus on being a better you and ask God to take the blinders off. So when you do connect with your divine mate, you will be so tapped into the spirit that you will know, God, that's him. Whoever God has for you right now is praying for you someplace. There's somebody that wants to be married. There's somebody that's a man that's celibate. There is a man that's praying for a woman that's celibate to connect. So it is not unheard of to be celibate. God knows exactly what he's doing when you decide to become celibate. He is building your faith. He's building your trust in him. He's building your self-esteem. So when the right man comes, you will know, okay, God, I waited and I kept myself for this.
Mm. Now, thinking of myself again.
Okay.
But when I entered my celibacy journey, and maybe tell me this, what is the difference between celibacy and abstinence? Before I go down that road.
Okay. Celibacy is when you're not having sex until marriage. You're just not having sex until marriage. Abstinence is when you have stopped having sex for a particular reason. It could be you might just be on a 6-week, you might have just had a baby, you might have some health issues, you might just feel like, okay, you know what, let me stop being intimate for a while, let me get some clarity. So celibacy is when you're doing it until you meet your divine mate, until marriage. Abstinence is just for the moment.
Maybe I was doing abstinence. But I guess when I started on that journey, it wasn't purposeful. Like you spoke, you made a purposeful decision to do it. I kind of just fell into it. I looked up one day and I was like, oh, I haven't been intimate with someone or with anyone for X amount of weeks or months.
Right.
So then I looked up and it was a year. And so probably when I got to the year point, I made a purposeful decision to keep going. I saw the benefits.
Right.
But I won't say that I was, when I started, that I was particularly motivated by religion or anything like that. It was just,
right,
you know, so let me ask you, is it always motivated by religion? Can it just be, I believe the spiritual was involved, okay, in my situation, but what if someone, you know, is maybe they're not into religion, can they benefit from this?
Yeah, they can benefit from it. You might have someone that is just tired of being broken. They're tired of being broken. I've been with this man for 10 years and he's still saying he's not ready to commit. They're tired of being broken. I have 5 kids by this man and every day he's still telling me he's not ready to make me his wife. You know, so it's not all about spirituality. It could be you just want to find you want to build your self-esteem. You want to find your worth. But for me, it's spirituality. I can tell you the moment I knew it was time for me to become celibate. I went to church one Sunday and I couldn't feel God's presence at all. I was at the altar and I literally was at the altar and I was looking at everybody like, why are these people praising God like this? Like, I felt like an outcast. Like, why are these people praising God like this? And God spoke to me and said, you need to clean your temple. Like you could feel me before, you know, you could feel me before, but you need to clean. It goes back to me saying detoxing. And so I promised God, I never want to come into the house of the Lord again and feel empty, because that's how it was making me feel. You know, for that moment when you had that pleasure, for that moment, it was good. But when you got back to your morals and reality and you knew that you were raised different, then I couldn't sleep at night because I knew that it wasn't pleasing to God. So my decision was for God. All of my ex-boyfriends, I can count who I've been with on one hand, but all of my ex-boyfriends are that we still have, you know, we communicate, we don't have any hard feelings. It was just a decision that I made for me, that I wanted to wait until God sent me my husband. Now, for somebody that might be listening to this, people will tell you, no man is going to wait to have sex until marriage. If he does, he's cheating. That's not true. There is somebody out there that is praying to meet a virgin, praying to meet someone that is saving themselves to marriage, praying to meet someone that's celibate. There is somebody out there that will marry you because they trust God, because they've been praying for God to connect you. That is when you know it's a divine connection. So do not believe people that say no one's going to marry you without testing the goods first. That's not true.
I said I agree with that. I think, you know, we as women shouldn't feel like we have to engage in activities or do anything.
Yeah.
You know, in order to get a man.
Do you know most women that I coach and most women that I talk to, I had a guy ask me, how come you don't coach men? And I said, I don't coach men because, number one, I'm a woman. I don't know what it is to be a man, but I do know that a lot of women are broken by either a situation that they had in their life with their father not being present. Maybe they had a father that was present, but he wasn't the best role model. Maybe they had a boyfriend that, you know, that didn't do right by them. Maybe they had a husband. But my reasoning for coaching women is because so many women are broken, and most of them are broken because of a relationship that didn't work. So it's my job as a celibacy coach to go in and put that self-esteem back in there, give them tools that they could go, you know, daily tools they could live by, and just let them know, once you build your self-worth up, once you know that you don't need to be intimate with the man to feel worthy, then the sky's the limit.
And I think what's important is, too, women get hurt in a relationship, and then they go to the next one. And they and then they go to the next one, and then they get hurt again. So it's all this built up pain.
Take time to heal. I had a situation where a girl was trying to break up with a guy, but they worked in the same building. And I just simply told her, you can't heal if you're looking at the hurt every day. You're looking at your hurt every day, so how are you going to heal? You can either ask your supervisor to change your shifts or whatever, but I think for her, she needed to see him for whatever reason. But you have to, you can't just go from one relationship to another relationship, another relationship. You need to take time and figure out, okay, what do I need to do different? You know, it's okay to be still. When you're by yourself, you learn so much about yourself. When you're by yourself, you do things that you would have never done before because you're always relying on somebody else to do it. I'm not against relationships at all, but I just want women to stop giving their temple away to somebody that's not deserving of it. I feel like if a man knows what he has and he values it, then he would make you a wife.
Now, Kimberly, when in your coaching and you're working with someone who's, I guess, beginning on their celibacy journey, how do you coach them to deal with temptation?
Well, the first thing I would tell them is don't put yourself around temptation.
Right.
We're not doing Netflix and chill. We're not meeting him at a coffee spot at 9 o'clock at night. We're just not doing that. We're not meeting him for wine at 9 o'clock at night. Once you begin your celibacy, you got to treat it like a newborn baby. Once you begin, now the further, like for me, I could be in a room with five men and I'm okay because it's been 15 years. In the beginning, I couldn't do that. In the beginning, I could not be around the ex-boyfriend, you know, because I knew, okay, it's still some emotions there, you know, you still kind of feeling him. So in the beginning, you just cannot put yourself around anything that's going to tempt you. That is when you need to start tapping into figuring out what your purpose is. Work on your credit, you know, work on the business you always want to start. If you don't want to start a business, work on your resume for a better job. But in the beginning processes of, in the beginning stages of being celibate, that is not the time to put yourself around anybody if you're weak. So I don't recommend anybody coming to your house for late night movies, coming to your house for breakfast. You can talk on the phone. You can go for walks in the park. Do things that are not going to bring on any temptation.
I mean, when I was abstinent, celibate, whatever you call it, I got to the point where you could sniff those individuals out. Like,
yeah,
you could tell the wisdom and the instinct that you develop will let you know that this brother here is not really going to be what you want, Crystal.
Like, right.
He's after something you're not willing to give.
Right.
And so you could cut him off because you're...
Right. I've had several men tell me that they think I would make an amazing wife, but they're just not ready to date anyone that's celibate. So you know what? They go from being a potential boyfriend to a prayer warrior. I have men that call me and say, or text me and say, these are the same men that might have wanted to date me before. They might text me and say, can you pray for me? I'm having a bad day. You know, just lift me up. And I think it's hilarious. Okay, thanks. You know, I'll do that. But I still believe that I'm not, for me, it's been 15 years. If I actually broke down and went against my celibacy, it would not be good mentally for me. I know that. And so if I trust God and everything else I do, the faith weight means you wait. You wait on God with all of your might. The faith weight, you wait. If I can trust God to do everything else in my life, I can trust God to connect me with someone and make it work. God is a second God. So sex is the last thing on my mind. I don't go to bed thinking about it. I don't wake up thinking about it anymore because it's been 15 years. I just keep focusing on what God wants me to do for the kingdom right now. I know that while I'm helping women and girls all over the world build their self-esteem, I know that I'm throwing good nuggets in the atmosphere. And I know that everything I'm throwing out has no choice but to come back to me. It's not up to me to tell God when to bring it back. I just got to keep throwing good nuggets out there, planting seeds and watching them grow. So I sleep like a baby at night. I put a pillow behind my back. That's my imaginary man. And I'm good. I'm good, but it's a process. Do I expect someone that just became celibate to be as strong as I am? Absolutely not. That's where the coaching comes in play. But once you realize the power you possess in between your legs, you will never give it away again unless your last name is changed. I promise you.
Because a woman said that to me years ago. Like I was probably in my early 20s. And she said, if women understood the power that they possess between their legs, they could rule the world.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes.
I didn't really get it then.
Yes. And it's a lot of men are attracted to that. And some are not. Some are intimidated by it, but that's okay. But I think in order for you to be completely whole and holistic, I think that you need to be well. You need to feed your body life in all areas of your life. It needs to be holistic. And I'm not just talking about food. That goes to spirituality, your circle of friends you're hanging around. If you're hanging around people every 5 minutes, they're saying a four-letter word, or they drinking alcohol and smoking, you know, whatever. If that's not the path you're trying to take, then why are you going to be around them? Know your worth. And when you know your worth, everything, I have to keep going back to that because that is so true. Know your worth and feed your body life. For me, life for me is a man that's going to meet me and say, you know what? I don't have an issue with you being celibate. I admire what you do. I've been praying for you. I've been praying for God to connect me to a woman like you. That's life for me. Life for me is knowing that each time I get up in the morning and my temple is clean and I don't have to cleanse myself from soul ties. Imagine you're dating someone and he has a girlfriend. You know nothing about the girlfriend. He has a girlfriend and she has a boyfriend and he has a girlfriend. And then the girlfriend has a boyfriend. Just imagine you waking up. You're like, God, I slept 8 hours. I feel so tired. Why is my hair coming out, Lord? Why am I having all these headaches? Why am I not getting this house that I keep applying for? All that's because you got toxic energy in your body, soul ties. I believe that. Once you clean your temple out, everything else will start to flow. Everything else will start to flow. Know your worth and feed your body life.
Right. I mean, you hit it. For me, knowing your worth, that's like key. You can't do any of this if you don't understand that you if you don't know your worth, you got to get to know it.
Right.
And so like, we just don't know. We don't know our worth.
Right.
We think we do.
Right.
But we don't. And it's across the board, you know, like you said, spiritually, emotionally, you know, even on our job, if you're not clear.
Right.
You could be working in a job and they're mistreating you and you think that that's okay.
Right. Because you don't know your worth.
Right.
But when you tap into your worth, listen, when you tap into your worth, it's just like a whole new world. If you pay attention to a woman that has been broken and you watch, you might have somebody in your life that you're close to, you knew that she was broken at one point and she finally tapped into her worth, and you look at how she is now versus how she was when she was broken, there's no comparison. There's no comparison. On Valentine's Day, I dropped a shirt. It was 2 years ago. Was it last year? Know Your Worth. And I did it on Valentine's Day because I got so sick and tired of women coming on social media Valentine's Day. Oh, I didn't get anything. Oh, I didn't get flowers. It's not about that. February 14th is another day. When you know your worth, you could care less if the person you're dating gave you flowers, because it's bigger than that. First, you need to ask yourself, why didn't he give you flowers? Why didn't he acknowledge you? And second, ask yourself, is he even worth the energy? He's shown you who he is, believe it, and move on. But don't sit here and have a pity party for one day. When you know your worth, February 14th, it's just another day. I'm not moping on Valentine's Day. I'm not sad on Valentine's Day. I've taken myself out to dinner on Valentine's Day. I go out of town by myself right now. I take many vacations by myself. I go to dinner by myself. I'm not sad. I'm not lonely. I'm not depressed. I'm enjoying my life. How can you enjoy your life with somebody else when you can't enjoy your life being single? Anybody that knows me will tell you I will take a trip by myself in a minute because I love me. And I need to know all about me if I expect somebody else to come in and date me. How can I expect you to date me and treat me with value if I hadn't tapped into my own value? So when you're by yourself and you're spending time by yourself and you're building your self-esteem up from the last relationship instead of jumping into another relationship, and you figure out what you like, you figure out what you don't like, guess what? By the time the right person comes for you, your worth, you already know it. And so they don't have to try to date somebody that's broken from the past, because you're healed from that. And guess what? The man that God has for you, he can just scoop you up and pick you up, and y'all can, hey, go down the aisle, get married, and no more celibacy.
Right.
But you got to get yourself right instead of expecting somebody else to come date you when you're not together. You got to work on you. Like you said earlier, people get out of relationships and get in them, get out and get in. That's the worst thing to do.
Right.
You got to work on yourself first.
And celibacy or abstinence, for, at least in my experience, it opened the door for me. Like I said, mine was not planned. It was unexpected. Mm-hmm. When someone would come my way that wasn't right, like I immediately felt, I'm not about to let this chaos into my life.
Right.
You start to guard your life.
Right.
You know, I started to eat better. You know, you start just taking overall better care of yourself.
Yeah, yeah.
And you start to realize, like, gosh, like, this is my temple. I'm not going to just let anybody come in to me physically.
Right.
Even in my realm, that is a mess.
Right.
So right. It helped me to start just valuing, or like you said, knowing my worth.
Yeah.
All around.
You got to know your worth. And for anyone that's listening that might be dating, if you want to date and you choose to be celibate, the best advice I can give you, number one, don't have them come to your house and pick you up. You figure out where you're going to meet. You drive your car, let him drive his car. Because guess what happens when you're in the car together late at night? You got your radio station playing. It's late at night. You got love songs on. All of a sudden, you're like, how in the world did this happen? So guess what? When you control the situation, I'm not saying this has to be this way all the time. I'm referring to in the beginning stages of being celibate. Because right now, in the beginning stages, you cannot control yourself. But if you feel like you must go on a date, then do it in a way that you won't get caught up in the situation. Say, oh yeah, we can go for dinner. I'll meet you there. Because guess what? If he comes to your house to pick you up, he's on the couch waiting on you to get your jacket or put your shoes on. Next thing you know, you don't even make it out of the house. So don't put yourself in positions or situations that's going to put you back against the wall to even get out of celibacy. If they got a problem with you saying, no, you can't pick me up, I'll meet you there, that's not the person for you. Because if they can't meet you there, then surely they can't. They're not going to respect the fact that you don't want to have sex.
Right. Now, what do you tell the ladies that you coach about if they, I guess, decide to date? Do you tell them to just be honest and upfront with the suitor and tell them, look, I'm practicing celibacy. I'm celibate.
Yeah, I believe you'd need to tell them up front. Some people feel like you shouldn't because they feel like then they might run, but I don't have time to waste. And my thing is, if you Google me, you're going to know that I'm talking about me. If you Google me, you're going to know she's a celibacy coach. But for people that are starting this, I would highly recommend you tell them you don't waste your time. It might be a turn on. It might be a turn off. You could really be dating somebody that wants to be celibate. You never know. Now, is the first thing that should come out of your mouth? No. Have a few conversations with them. See if you're even compatible. You might realize on the second conversation, we're not compatible. So why does he need to know? But as you continue to date and converse, I don't think he should go 6 or 7 months without knowing you're not having sex into marriage. That's important. So yeah, I mean, I think that God will, he will link you up with someone that is just as compatible with you in that way.
Now, because some listeners may be thinking this, if you are engaging in celibacy, if you're practicing celibacy, can you engage in any physical activity?
In the beginning stages, if you're strong enough, but I doubt you will be, because mm-hmm. kissing leads to everything else. Mm-hmm. That's temptation. That's like putting somebody that's on crack in the crack house and watching everybody else smoking and they inhaling. I mean, you know, I say no, I didn't do any of that because kissing leads to everything else. Can I kiss you now? Yes. Have I kissed anybody? No, but I'm just saying I can do that because I'm stronger now, but I still wouldn't put myself in a room with someone. Okay. I'll give you a situation. And this is how I knew that I was in my purpose. About 5 years ago, I met this guy. He lived in, I won't say where he lived, but he lived like 2 hours away. And I wanted to go spend some time with him. I knew that I was strong. And he promised me, you know, we'd been talking on the phone for about 4 or 5 months. He promised me, you know, yeah, I respect it, blah, blah, blah. Well, I called my friends to let them know, you know, I'm on my way to go see so-and-so. And they all said, don't go. Don't go because he might not be ready. Don't go. Meaning he might not be ready for celibacy. They didn't doubt my strength. They doubted his. And I said, well, you know, I'm good. So at the time, I had just put out a shirt that said, trust God. So I wore my trust God shirt. So I told him, I said, I'm going to get a room and you can stay in the room with me if you want to. He lived in the same city, but I told him he could stay in the room. He said, okay, cool. At this point, I'm thinking, okay, he's cool with me being celibate. So when he came to the room, he said, oh, you got on your trust God shirt? You're doing this today? And I said, yeah, I'm doing this today. I'm trusting God. You know, like you, basically, I came with my whole armor on because I'm not sleeping with you. So we went out to eat. And then we came back to the room. And I had already taken my shower before he got there because I knew he had to leave the next morning to go to work. So I said, I'm going to take my shower before he comes. So that way, after dinner, I don't have to get uncomfortable. You know, I don't have to put myself in an uncompromising position. So after we got back to the room, he had taken his shower. I had gone in the dim part of the condo. And about 20 minutes later, I went in the room. This is how I knew I was strong. And my friend that knew what was going on, she said, girl, I was praying for you. She said, but girl, that was a test. So when I came out of the den area, went into the room, he was in the bed naked.
Mm.
He was doing some things. And I said, are you naked? I grabbed my purse just in case I had to run. I said, are you naked? He said, yeah. I said, but I told you that I wasn't having sex in marriage. Yeah, but I told you I sleep naked. I said, yeah, but I'm not having sex in marriage. So he's pleasing himself. I looked at him. I grabbed my pocketbook. I had my phone in my hand. And I said, I need for you to leave. He had a very prominent job, so I knew that he was not going to chance, you know, anything with the law. I need for you to leave. But it's cold outside. I need for you to leave now. I said, because I told you that I was not having sex to marriage. You promised me you were okay with it. I said, I cannot sleep with you in the bed with no clothes on. So he was, you know, he wasn't being defiant, but he was just like, why I gotta go, you know, but he left. I called my mom, told her what happened. She said, I was praying for you the whole time. But the moral of the story is I was strong, but he wasn't. So it's one of those things where you have to kind of ask yourself, I misjudgment. That was a misjudgment call for me because I knew I was strong. And he told me he was strong, but he wasn't. I could have either folded in and had sex with him, but I decided not to. And the next day, of course, he texted me to apologize and wanted to meet for lunch, but you had already showed me who you were. So I was like, no, I'm good. I checked out and went home. So it's one of those things where you will be tested. But for me, that's when I knew, okay, girl, you a celibacy queen. You in there, you know? So, but yeah, that was the only time that I was tested. Yeah.
Yeah, that's interesting.
It is.
But yeah, I think you're right. Anytime you go down a journey that's, I guess, against the grain, if you will, even though it probably shouldn't be, you are going to be tested.
Yeah.
You are going to be tested. See, I wouldn't, when during my 5 years, I didn't even open that door.
Right.
You know, because I could just smell it on them.
Yeah.
Still, you know, and if it got to the point where I would share, you know, I'm abstinent or whatever. And, you know, some of them would say, okay, I'm cool with that.
But right.
Said I was strong, but I knew they wouldn't be.
Right. And remember, I told you that we had been conversing on the phone for about 5 months. And earlier I said, whenever you're not intimate with these people, with these men, you can just walk away. Listen, I thought about that boy for 2 days. And that was it. Now, had I slept with him, I would have been, oh, God, no. He was calling, texting me, and I ended up blocking him. I didn't have to worry about his spirit being in my spirit. I didn't have to worry about soul ties. It was 5 months of my life, and I took it as though God brought him in your life for 5 months for laughter. You know, I look at everything as, okay, God, what's the purpose? You know, he kept you entertained. You know, you were on the phone laughing and he was very funny, but this is not who I have for you. But yeah, so I wouldn't advise anybody to put themselves in any type of position. For me, it could have gone another way. He could have gotten violent, could have tried to rape me, but God was truly on my side. And like I said, I knew that he had a professional job. He didn't want to take any chances, but I was not going to lay with him in that bed knowing that that was going to be very uncomfortable for me with him being naked.
Right. And that's the scary part. You know, you spoke to him for 5 months, but a lot of times, ladies, we don't really know who we're dealing with.
Right. And he lived in another city. So that was even, you know, that was even harder, you know, for me as a woman. I feel like we're building an emotional relationship. We're building a connection over the phone, but men think differently. He evidently needed the physical at that moment, but I still trust and believe that there is somebody out there that will respect my decision, that will be so intrigued by my decision. Like my father always says, when a man goes shopping and he sees a shirt that he likes, he grabs it so nobody else can get it. If he sees a pair of shoes he likes, he grabs it. And he tells me all the time, the same way a man can grab a pair of shoes and a shirt that he likes is the same way he'll grab you. So don't settle. A man knows exactly what he wants.
I like that. Thanks, Dad.
Yeah, he's my number one supporter.
Are there any downsides to being celibate?
The dating is kind of rare. Once they find out you're celibate, you become, like I said earlier, you become like a friend, the friend zone.
Right.
A lot of people may think that it's impossible. A lot of people might think you're lying about it. But I say to people that are Christian-based, having sex before marriage is not, it's just not, you should not be having sex before marriage. If you're a Christian and you're following the Christian doctrine, then you know that you should not be having sex into marriage. So for people that are Christians, it shouldn't be a big issue anyway. I'm doing what we should be doing anyway. I wish that I was a virgin. I really wish that I was a virgin. But I would say there are more benefits to being celibate. And I'll give you a list of them. There are more benefits to being celibate than downfalls. So I'll say the first benefit is religion. You build your spiritual life.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, I could be driving down the street and God would talk to me. And I'm like, God, I hear you. You know, clarity, no demons from other relationships, clarity. You're better as far as what you believe morally. The benefits of celibacy, you allowed to wait on the right person. As you said earlier, you have clarity. You gain so much power. I put a shirt out 2 years ago, Black women have superpowers. You have so much power when you're celibate. You can begin to release soul ties and detox from all the Tom, Dicks, and Harrys, and whoever else. You can just detox. You got like a weight lifted. You hear people say they lost 200 pounds. Well, guess what? If your ex was 200 pounds, you lost 200 pounds. You're detoxing. Also, mental benefits. You're not stressed out. You're not wondering where he is. You're not tossing and turning at night. You don't have to worry about that. That's somebody else's problem, not yours. You don't have to worry about people calling your phone. Oh, we're dating. Oh, he's dating you too. You don't have to worry about all of that. Physical benefits, number one. You don't have to worry about any kind of STDs. I'm just keeping it real.
Mm-hmm.
Physical benefits. You have more energy. Focus your energy on positive things instead of the relationship that's just not working. You protect your peace. Oh my gosh, you protect your peace. Like I said, you don't have to worry about who he's with and who he's doing it with because you're not doing it with him. It's your peace. I put another shirt out, supernatural peace. Protect your peace. Also, build your faith. Being celibate builds your faith. It gives you the faith to wait and the faith to trust that God has somebody special just for you. Not perfect, but perfect just for you. I put a shirt out for that. Supernatural faith. And also, being celibate promotes positive self-esteem and self-care. I put a shirt out for that. Know your worth. So the benefits of being celibate are endless. And listen, once you do that, you can do anything. Anything you put your mind to, you can do it. If you can become celibate, you can do anything. I promise you.
I believe that. It brings, everything you described just sounds like freedom.
It is. Let me tell you. I was with my mom. We were at a restaurant. We went to the beach before the pandemic, of course. And we were at a restaurant. The whole family went, but we were at a restaurant and I went to the bathroom with my mom. And we walked past a table full of four men. I didn't even see the men. When we got in the bathroom, my mom said, "You didn't see those men looking at you and making eyes?" I said, What? She said, "Yeah." She said, "Wait when we go back out." Went back out to pass them. I picked up on it. So we sat down. She said, "So you're not going to flirt with him?" But I'm just so detached from it. It's just like, I got tunnel vision. I do want a husband. And I know that God is going to give me who he has for me. But that's not my focus right now. My focus is on building up other women, building up their self-esteem, building up my business, continue to build up my faith so that when he does come, I'll look up and say, "God, this is the one." But right now, I'm chilling. I'm good. I was going to say I'm good. I just want other people to be good.
Yes. And I think we have that in common. We want, we want to empower women.
Yes. Yes.
So Kimberly, thank you so much for coming on. I really love this conversation.
Me too.
Now tell the listeners how they can find out more about you or contact you. Maybe they need your counseling.
Okay. So you can go to my website. It's Chemistry. I'll spell it out for you. I did a spin on my name, but it's Chemistry. So it's K-I-M-E, S as in Sam, T-R-Y, chemistrywellness.com. You can also find me on Facebook, Kimberly Diamond, and also Chemistry Wellness on Facebook, chemistrywellness.com, Kimberly Diamond personal page, and Chemistry Wellness on Facebook. I'm available for celibacy coaching, singles coaching, self-esteem coaching, holistic health coaching. I also have a lot of holistic health products, sea moss on my website, elderberry, detox drinks, all of that. Remember, when you know your worth, you feed your body life. So my goal is for you to come to me. If you're broken, when you leave, you're going to be healed.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Kimberly. And I got to bring you on again. Maybe we can do another discussion just about your holistic.
Okay.
Like, I would love to talk to you more about that wellness aspect.
Yes, yes, yes. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Kimberly.
You're welcome. You're welcome.
Take care.
You too.
Well, there we have it. Another great episode, this time with Kimberly Diamond. Kimberly is so passionate about celibacy. I just really love speaking to her today. If you are interested in learning more about Kimberly or celibacy or any of her health and wellness offerings, please reach out to Kimberly. I'm sure she'll be glad to hear from you. Once again, Go Hard Chicks, thank you for your continued support of this podcast. If you haven't done so already, please leave a rating and review. It really helps me to continue to bring on guests like Kimberly and some of the other fabulous Go Hard Chick guests we've had on. I hope that you guys have a prosperous week. And once again, thank you for listening. Take care.